Hannah, who was Samuel's mother, she couldn't have kids, and so she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow in 1 Samuel 1:11. She said, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." Now, would you say she was bargaining with God? No. But she promised, she committed, she was so sincere in her heart that she wanted to dedicate her son to the Lord, to do whatever God wanted him to do, to put him in a place where he could learn and train and be the man that God's called him to be. And so the Lord heard her prayer, and God graced her with the birth of Samuel. And as soon as he was weaned, she took him to the priest. At that time, it was Eli, and Samuel served in the priest. So she released him into the call of God for his life. And that's what it means to dedicate a child. It means you're allowing the Lord to influence and to shape them and to train them in who he's created them to be. Because how many know there's no such thing as an accident when it comes to children? God doesn't make oops. Amen? He knows exactly, every one of you today, he knew exactly you were going to be born at this time. You were going to be here at this time. He already has your life planned out. And all he's waiting for you to do is to discover his marvelous plan. And then God told Adam and Eve, when he created them, he blessed them and said, "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." How many know that you need kids in order to fill the earth and to subdue it? And they need to be trained, right? They need to be disciplined. They need to be brought up in the Lord. And that's what it means to dedicate the Lord. And the Bible tells us to, in Proverbs, verse 22, I believe it is. It says, "Train a child in the way that they should go, and that when they're older, they'll not depart from it." How many know that when you can shape a child, when they're born, you can fill them with the Lord? For 9 months, I would lay my hand on Fiona's belly, and I would pray over Gabriel for 9 months. And we still do that. And sometimes I'm amazed by the prayers that he says over things. I mean, he'll talk about the power of God, but how did that come about? It came about through our relationship with the Lord. And when we dedicate a child, we're asking God for wisdom and grace to help train them, and then we're instilling in them principles and values and morals so that they can grow up and be the men and women that God's called them to be. Amen. Well, today we're going to dedicate Jason Lee Sadison Jr. And if I could have the family come up here. Amen. And if the relatives want to come up too, they're welcome. You're welcome to come on up and participate in this. It's okay. Amen. I just want to read to you a scripture. In Mark chapter 10, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so that he could touch them and bless them. But the disciples told them not to bother him. But when Jesus saw what was happening, he was very displeased with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you, anyone who doesn't have their kind of faith will never get into the kingdom of God." Then he took the children into his arms, he placed his hands on their head, and bless them. So even Jesus was interested in the children. And then one other scripture in Psalms 127. The Bible says, unless the Lord build the house, the work of the builders is useless. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries, it will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning to late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. God gives rest to his loved ones. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like sharp arrows in a warrior's hands. You've got some sharp arrows in a warrior's hands. How happy is the man whose quiver is full of them? He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. Amen. Oh, I could have Jason here. How are you doing? Okay. I'm going to read you a series of statements, and if you're in agreement with them, just say, I will. Okay. Will you command your children to keep the way of the Lord? Will you teach your children the commandments of the Lord? Will you train up your children in the way that they should go so that when they're older they'll not depart from it? Will you read to them the Holy Scriptures? Will you make the truth known to them? Will you love your children? Don't make them mad, but discipline them and instruct them in the ways of the Lord. Will you correct your children when they are wrong? Will you pray with your children and over their lives that they may serve God? Will you comfort, exhort, and charge your children to do right? Amen. So based on this, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we dedicate Jason to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we commit him into your hands. And we know that you are able to keep that which we commit to you. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, for fulfilling your plan in his life. We thank you, Lord, for touching this family and giving them wisdom. And Lord, we dedicate him to the Lord today in the name of Jesus, that he may grow up and serve God all the days of his life. In Jesus' name, amen. He's giving me a high five. There you go. And we just want to pray over this family. Amen. And I just want to encourage you as a congregation to keep Brian and Paula in prayer because they're going through some battles and some challenges, but God is on their side. Amen. And he's working everything out. Father, we just pray over Brian and Paula as they undertake this challenge, Lord, to raise their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would impart to them wisdom and grace and strength, Lord, to do all that they need to do. Lord, I thank you that they are a wonderful team. You've brought them together, Father, for this purpose and for this reason. And Lord, may you work out your will in their lives. And we just thank you, Father, for your strength and grace to be upon them mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. And at Victory Christian Fellowship, we present you with this certificate. Well, I was trying to. It says a certificate of dedication. We, Brian and Paula Kreider, commit ourselves to the Christian nature of Jason Lee Sadison Jr. And entering into this commitment at Victory Christian Fellowship Church as a part of the congregation on November 18th. And it says, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. There you go. Thank you. God bless you guys. Amen. And as a blessing to the everybody today, Brian and Paula, they provided lunch for us, and so there's some sandwiches that you're welcome. Everybody's invited to participate with after the service today, so it'll be a great time of fellowship. Amen. And then last week, I put a little slip in the bulletin. It's called Ask the Pastor. And you're welcome to ask me any question. Please write it down, and you can just put it in the offering container in the back. And I received one question last week that I want to just take a moment to address. And it says, what is on the table prepared for me in the presence of my enemies? They said they have an idea, but no scripture to back it up with. Point me to or what to look for. Well, Psalm 23, verse 5, the Bible says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over." So the Lord prepares a place of protection so that you're not distracted from the enemy. You can sit down actually to his table. And then I just wrote down some references of food in the Bible. John 6, 49 through 58, Jesus said, "I am the living bread." So you can expect to see living bread on the table. In Joel 2, 24, he speaks of new wine. And Jesus told a parable. He said, you're not going to put old wine in a new wineskin. You've got to have a new wine for a new wineskin or an old wineskin. And then Exodus 3, 8, he was going to take Israel to a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay, honey speaks of the sweetness of the word. And Psalm 119, 103, his words are sweeter than honey. And 1 Peter 2, 2 says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. So the milk of the word, it does the body good. Amen. And then Proverbs 9, 5, it says, eat his bread and drink his spiritual wine. Well, these are some things that you could expect to find on the table. And then Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3, it talks about buy wine, milk, and bread without cost. And then Galatians 5, 22, of course, is the fruit of the Spirit. So those are some different things that you may expect. Everything that's on the table is designed to bring abundance, increase, and protection to your life. So he prepares it in the presence of his enemy just to say that, enemy, you can't touch this. The enemy might bring you turmoil and trouble, but at God's table, there's peace. Amen? So hopefully that answers your question. And I would encourage anybody to ask me anything, and I'll try to address a question a week, and we'll see how it goes. Amen? Well, we want to dismiss the kids today for our kids' life. Glory to God. If I could have all the kids and the teachers stand up, please. Praise the Lord. Father, we just bless our kids and our teachers. Lord, may you speak through them. Fill our kids up with the knowledge, the revelation knowledge of the Lord. And fill their hearts, Father, with your goodness. And do mighty works today in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. And then in a few moments, we're going to go ahead and pray. We're going to pray for healing. Matt, our worship leader, he threw his back out or something happened with his back, so we're going to just pray and believe God. But that's going to occur in a few moments because part of my message today is going to deal with that. So we're going to do a demonstration, if that's all right. So how many are excited about the Word today? Amen? If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians Chapter 5, that's over in the New Testament there. Just before Timothy, you'll find 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're thankful to have the rest of the family here visiting with us today in celebration of the baby's dedication. It's good to have each and every one of you here. 1 Thessalonians Chapter 5, we started the month of November in talking about worship. The Lord put it on my heart a couple years ago to give each of our months a theme. And oftentimes, the theme of that month turned out to be prophetic, just by what it was named and what occurred during those months. But I believe that as we study different aspects of worship, you know, God desires us to worship Him. He is seeking for true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So today we're going to talk about worship and thanksgiving. Amen? Worship and thanksgiving. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says this, "In everything, give thanks." Everybody say, "In everything." "Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." That's a mouthful, isn't it? In everything, give thanks. Well, Pastor, am I supposed to give thanks when something bad happens? Well, you're supposed to look for the good out of that bad. No matter what happens, Jesus is still on the throne. No matter what happens, Jesus is still Lord. No matter what happens, you can find some good in a bad situation. Because we're entering the time of what? Thanksgiving. It's more than just turkey and food and food and food and food and food. But really, it's about giving thanks. It's about us expressing our gratitude to God for what He's done. It means to give praise to God for what He has done, irregardless of what is happening now. Thanksgiving is internal and your spiritual connection to God. How'd you like to be Joseph? He was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was sent to a foreign land. He was servant in Potiphar's house. He was lied about, falsely accused. He was forgotten in prison, and then he became the prime minister, and he was able to say to his brothers, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." Now you have a choice. You can either focus on the negative part of things that you're going through, or you can focus on the positive part. It's your choice. But if you want negative results, then you focus on the negative. But if you want positive results, look for something good. And so when God is saying, "In everything give thanks," there's always a reason, no matter what you're going through, that you can find to be thankful. Amen? So what is thanksgiving? It's a duty. It's giving gratitude. It's acknowledging God's benefits and His provision, especially what He's given to us through redemption. And you're going to get excited today because I'm going to talk about some of the benefits that we have to be thankful for. And healing is one of the benefits. So when we talk about that, then we're going to lay hands on Matt. Amen? And God is going to touch him because God wants you whole. God doesn't want to keep you down. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to increase. He wants you to grow. That's what the Bible's all about. It starts with the new birth, but he expects you to grow. He says, "Desire the sincere milk." We read it today, that you may grow. God wants you to grow, and we've got to grow. Amen? So, but we grow in understanding and in revelation. It is the grace of God operating in the soul of the believer as a principle going back to Him in gratitude. You know, when someone does something nice for you, we're told to say, "Thank you." In essence, you're giving praise for the goodness that was just done for you. And when you are unthankful, when you're ungrateful, you take away the worth of the giver. You take away the worth of the giver. Now, there are some areas that we can be thankful in. We can be thankful for the temporal realm or the earthly realm, such as our health, our food, our clothes, a roof over our head, the air we breathe. Thank God we can breathe, amen? Then there is the spiritual area where we give thanks. That's where we thank God for the Word, the ordinances. We thank Him for the gospel and its blessings, for grace, for adoption, for pardon, for justification, for all the things that Christ has given to us. Can you say amen? Excuse me. Then we thank God for the eternal, or the enjoyment of what God is going to do for us. How many are excited about heaven? How many are excited about the mansion that's being built for you as we speak? Jesus said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Do you know that he knows what you like? And he is a carpenter. He's a contractor. He uses the best material. There was one guy who was in heaven. And he really wanted to see his mansion. And so he was walking with the angel. And he walked along. He saw this beautiful mansion on the left. He said, is that my mansion? He said, no, that's where Smith Wigglesworth lives. He said, okay. Then they walked down a little further, and he saw another house on the right. He said, is that my mansion? He said, no, that's where Kenneth Hagin lives. And then they got down to the end of this road, and there was this little shack. And the angel said, we're here. And he said, that's my mansion? Yeah, the angel said, well, this is all that we could build with the material that you sent us. Either they weren't thankful or they weren't doing much. Amen? Let me just read you some scriptures about giving thanks. Ephesians 5:20. At all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, you're not giving it because of what's happening. You're giving it because of him. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, and in dependence upon his person, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen? As long as Jesus is here, there's always something to be thankful for. How many are thankful when someone takes you out to lunch and pays the bill? Amen. Well, isn't that what Jesus did? He took us to a buffet. It's the shady maple of heaven. Now, if you've ever heard of shady maple, you know, I love to go to Shady Maple, but not too frequently. Only once in a while. Because it's 100 foot long of food. 100 foot long. And on your birthday, you get to eat for free at Shady Maple. Hallelujah. I mean, and for a buffet, it's some of the most tasting food I've ever had on a buffet. But anyway, God has given us a smorgasbord. He's given us life, healing, peace, joy, restoration, repair, love, acceptance. And he says, come here, I've already paid the bill, and you've got to just come in and fill your plate full of what you want. It's already been given, it's already been provided, it's yours, I've paid the bill. But too many people aren't filling their plates because they don't know what's been given to them. Excuse me. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And let's look at some things that God has given us. Look at how he starts out this psalm in verse 1. Notice where his focus is. Notice what he's thinking about. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Everybody say, all that's within me. He gave it his all. He gave it his whole effort. Something happened on the inside of him that turned his heart to just begin to magnify and to bless the Lord. He hasn't even gotten into the benefits yet. He's just so excited about God. That's how we need to be. We ought to just get so excited about Jesus, about who He is. He is the mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the everlasting Father. He's the great I Am. He's the rock of our salvation. He's the chief cornerstone. He's our Redeemer. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And He's going to come again. And He's so much more. Don't let me go on that for too long, because I'll just get excited. I'll just get caught up. Then in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Everybody say, forget not. See, the reason that people aren't benefiting from the benefits is because they've forgotten. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they do know, but they've forgotten. How can you forget? Well, when you quit looking at it, when you quit looking at the Word, when you quit talking to God, when you start doing your own thing, you begin to distance yourself from God. I've seen it. I've seen people who have been in church, who know, but yet they choose to distance themselves from God. Forget not. Why did He put that in there? How many have benefits at work? Amen? Are you aware of the benefits that you have at work? I hope you are, because you need to know what you can lay claim to, right? Amen? He says, forget not all His benefits. Now, He's about to tell us what some of the benefits are. These are reasons to be thankful. Irregardless of what's happening in this life, these things, if you look at these things, they will produce a praise on the inside of you. A thanks will come out of you. Amen? Number one, who forgives all your iniquities. Everybody say forgives. People aren't waiting to be forgiven. They're already forgiven. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus came and took away the sin. He doesn't have to do it anymore. He doesn't have to go back on the cross. He did it once and for all. We're forgiven. Now, how many sins are we forgiven from? All. Are you forgiven from murder? Yeah. Are you forgiven for gossip? Yeah. Are you forgiven for pride? Yes. He forgives all your iniquities. How does He forgive? Well, it's through His mercy, which comes from His unfailing love and great compassion. Go with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 3. Notice what the psalmist said here. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to Your loving kindness, according to the multitude of Your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. And against You and You only have I sinned. But I want you to notice that His mercy comes through His loving kindness and His compassion. David wrote this psalm. You know what David did? He committed adultery, he committed murder, he lied, and he did a series of things to cover up his sin. By the way, the proverb says that he who covers his sin will not prosper. And David was called on the carpet about his sin by the prophet Nathan, and David said, I have sinned. He began to repent right there. And God forgave him. Did David experience some consequences? Yes. Unfortunately, there are consequences for sin. Sin is a destroyer. Sin will creep into your life And it looks good, it feels good, it smells good, but it leads you to a dead end. And you don't know it until you're at that dead end. Just ask the prodigal son. Let me go do my own thing, Dad. Okay, here's your inheritance. Notice the father didn't advise him. The father didn't criticize him. The father just gave him what was his. He allowed his son to make the choice. Even though it broke his heart, he allowed him to make the choice. That's what God does to us. He allows us to make our choice. So he went and had a good time. Woo, the prodigal son. Come to the prodigal party. We're having a good time. All of a sudden, he ran out of money. Because that's what sin will do. Sin will cost you more than what you're willing to pay. It'll take you further than where you wanted to go. It'll make you do things you never wanted to do. And there is this boy who had an inheritance. He is feeding pigs. It's not too kosher for a Jewish boy to be taking care of pigs. So then what does he do? He said, he came to himself. See, sin will make you out of your mind. He had to sober up in his mind. But see, it's through the loving kindness and the compassion of God that when the prodigal son made the decision to come home, the father didn't criticize him. He didn't bring up the past. He just welcomed him with open arms. He said, go kill the fattest calf. He said, put a robe on him, put a ring on him. He restored him into relationship. That's what forgiveness does. It removes the guilt and the shame that comes with sin. And thank God that the blood of Jesus, it wipes away. It makes the slate clean. He's forgiven us. Say, I'm forgiven. You know, Jesus has authority on earth to forgive sin. One time he told a paralytic, he said, your sins are forgiven. Well, that's strange to say someone that needs healing that your sins are forgiven. God wants you healed as much as he wants you saved. That's why he said that. 1 John 1:9, it says, when you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you and, everybody say and, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness when you confess. He's not obligated to do anything until you confess, until you come to him, until you bear your heart to him, until you open up. Oh, I have some up here. Thanks. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have, everybody say have, that's right now, present tense, redemption and forgiveness. We have it right now. Why? Because when Jesus did the work on the cross, when he shed his blood, that was full payment. That's why God can accept a sinner, because the payment of the price of sin has already been made. There doesn't have to be another crucifixion. There doesn't have to be another Jesus coming to the earth. He did it once and for all, and it was good for all mankind. He bore the sin of the world on him. He nailed it to the cross. He took it away. He removed it. I like what he says in Isaiah. He says, come, let us reason together. Come here. Let's talk. Though your sins are like scarlet, he said, I'll make them white as snow. Come, let us reason together. Let's talk about it. Let me exchange. Let me take your pain and your sorrow and your sickness. I'll give you life. I'll give you peace. I'll give you joy. Who's willing to give up the stuff that sin causes? The pain, the separation, the hurt, the anger. You ready to trade it in? You ready for an upgrade? Come and get this benefit. Forgiveness of all of our sins. Then, in Psalms 103, he goes on to say, healing, what does he say here? Who heals all your diseases. How many? He heals. He heals. That means that his power to heal is available in the present tense. In Luke chapter 5, there was a story of a meeting that was held in Capernaum, and the meeting was so packed, there wasn't a seat. There was standing room only. And Jesus was preaching, and the Bible says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Everybody say them. But how come not them got healed? There was one guy who had four friends. And in the midst of the meeting, they heard the buzzsaw. They saw this commotion up above. And these people were opening a hole in the roof. And they were letting this lame guy down with ropes right in front of Jesus. I'll tell you what, faith will find a way to Jesus. Faith will not resist any obstacle. I mean, faith will not be hindered by any obstacle, but faith will find its way to Jesus. Even if you've got to cut a hole in the roof, even if you've got to make your way through the crowd, even if you've got to come before Jesus knowing that you're going to give up your pride and your position and all that stuff, they found a way to Jesus. They let that guy down from the roof. Jesus saw their faith. It takes faith to cut a hole in the roof and to drop someone down in the middle of a meeting. Jesus didn't say, "You're interrupting my meeting." That's why he was there. He was there to bring healing. The power of the Lord was present to heal. How many diseases does he heal? All. Everybody say this. Say, God is not the author of sickness. Say it one more time. Say, God is not the author of sickness. He's the author of life. He's not a thief. He's a giver. Jesus never took from any person on this earth. He always gave. He gave second chance to the woman caught in adultery. He said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" "I don't see any." He said, "I don't accuse you," but he said, "Go and sin no more." Second chance. Turn with me to Exodus 15. I got to read a few of these scriptures, and then we'll get back to Psalm 103. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. This is Moses talking here, and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who" what? "Who heals you." Do you realize that the same healing power is available today was available under the old covenant too? God always, how many has ever cut themselves on their finger or whatever? Can you show me that cut now? I mean, if it's been recent, you could show me, but if you've cut yourself and it's been a couple of weeks, what happens to that cut? It disappears. Why? The body was even created to heal itself. What happens when something foreign in your body comes in that's not supposed to be there? Your body has white blood cells. They're like an army, and they attack that thing. They gather around like a gang, and they beat the tar out of the thing that doesn't belong in your body. And sometimes we need antibiotics to aid in the body's fight. But the Lord is the healer. Exodus 15, that's a revelation of Jehovah Rapha. It says, "I am the Lord who heals." He is the God who heals. He said, "I take sickness away." Never, ever say that the Lord, even the scriptures that say the Lord brought sickness, it's never in the causative. It's in the permissive. When we notice, it qualified it. Notice, he said, you got to listen to the voice of God. You got to do what is right, and you got to listen to his commandments and keep his statutes. When we're not doing our job, we take ourselves out from the protection of God and we expose ourselves to harm. But healing is a benefit. He has got the best health assurance program ever. By his stripes, he was healed. Isaiah 53:5, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And by his stripes, we are healed. Matthew 8:17, Jesus is actually healing people to fulfill what Isaiah spoke about him. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes, you were healed, because what happened on the cross, that's when the healing took place. That's when the forgiveness took place. That's when the release took place. That's when you were set free. Now he's just waiting for you to accept it. Amen? Everybody say, our God is a healing God. Say, he's a healer. Say, he restores health to me. He makes me strong. He heals my body. He heals every sickness and every disease among the people. Isn't that what Jesus did? He went about. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus, if you want to know what God's thought is on healing, just look at the life of Jesus. Did he ever tell anybody that came to him, you know what, my schedule's kind of full, can you come back next week? No. Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, came to him because his daughter was sick. Jesus, he said, come and lay your hands on my daughter. What did Jesus do? He said, well, let's go to your house. Jesus was willing to lay hands. What did he do with the lepers? The 10 lepers that were cleansed, they came to him and he healed them, and they went their way. They were supposed to go wash and show themselves to the priest. One came back with a thankful heart. And his thankfulness caused his healing to become wholeness. I believe that because he exercised thankfulness, that not only was he healed, but the total effects of the disease was wiped away. Because Jesus said, weren't there 10, and how come only one? Only one out of 10 gave thanks to God for what he did. One out of 10. Would you be the one today? Would you be the one to say thank you? We're going to pray for you, Matt. You can sit. You can sit if you want. That's fine. And I got oil on my hands, so we're going to grease you up a little bit. You know, it's not an oil spill. Praise God. But it's the power of God going into your body. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, oh Lord, we just lay hands on Matt, Lord. You said that believers shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. And Lord, we just release your anointing right now. There's power present to heal. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you can align his back, his spine, his muscles, his tendons, Father, in perfect alignment in the name of Jesus. And Lord, if there's a slip disc, I thank you that you heal it right now. We just lay our hands on him, Father, in faith, and we release the anointing of God. Oh, hallelujah. We release the anointing. Be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's just give God praise. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, right now, just praise him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power right now. Oh, Father, for your healing power in the name of Jesus. You are the healer. Healing is a benefit that God has already given to you and provided for you. I command these lungs to be opened in the name of Jesus, and breathing to be free, free, free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Anybody else need healing? I'm going to lay hands on myself right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I just rebuke this infection in my respiratory system. Father, and I thank you, Lord, that I am free and clear from the effects of this. Father, and I thank you, Lord, that your healing power is working in me. See, when you don't have anybody to lay hands on you, lay hands on yourself. You're a believer, right? Mark 16 did not say, ministers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It said believers. It said, these signs shall follow them that believe. So the only qualification you need to lay hands on someone is, do you believe? Amen? Aren't you glad that he's given us forgiveness of sin? Aren't you glad that he's given us healing of all your diseases? These are benefits that God has given to me. He's given them to you. He's already paid the bill. He just wants you to receive. Psalm 107, verse 22 says, he sent his word and healed them. Hallelujah. Just by the power. There were some times where Jesus, the Roman centurion, said, my servant lies at death with the palsy, sick, but he said, I'm not worthy that you should come over my house. He said, only speak the word and my servant shall be whole. All Jesus had to do was speak a word to that Roman centurion servant who wasn't even there in the presence. But that power in the word went forth. And it healed his servant. And Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith in all Israel. This Roman centurion operated in more faith than Israel. Can you imagine that? You ready to get into some more of these benefits? Go back to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And you know, the Bible says in James 5, it says, call for the elders of the church and have them anoint you with oil, and they pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they've committed any sin, they shall be forgiven of him. So that's what we did. Because Matt called me yesterday, and I was going to go over his house, but I didn't have to that day, but I said, so we'll do it today. And amen. God's working. Psalm 103. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Oftentimes, when you say, are you saved? People say, yeah, I was drowning and someone threw me a life preserver and I'm saved. Or I was in, my house was on fire and someone came in and took me out. I was saved. No, you're saved from destruction. You're saved from death. You're saved from damnation. He redeems your life from destruction. That word means to buy back. It means to purchase. It means to repair. It means to pay a price. Jesus said, I give my life a ransom for many. He ransomed his life to free us from the captivity of sin. Satan, when he got control of this earth, he used sin to enslave the human race. He had them enslaved. He demanded a ransom. He said, you got to pay this price. Thank God, God paid the price. He paid the price, and in doing so, he broke the power of the devil that he had over sin. He took the power of death, hell, and the grave away from him. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm not headed for destruction. I'm glad that I'm delivered from death. I'm delivered from enslavement. I'm free. I've been redeemed. His redemption covers everything. He brought deliverance and redemption to his people. When Egypt enslaved the people, do you realize that the Pharaoh who took over after the Pharaoh who instilled Joseph as prime minister, the Pharaoh after him didn't even know who Joseph was. How ignorant can you be of your history? Joseph was reared as, but so Israel began to multiply. And this Pharaoh got nervous. And so he instituted, I want every male child killed. Because he didn't want them raising up an army to overthrow them. Then he put them in slavery. He made them, he oppressed them. He made them do hard labor. They had to make bricks. And we know that, you know, the portrayal of the Ten Commandments, Cecil B. DeMille, you know, they're stomping in the mud, mixing the straw in, and they're making bricks. And if they did something wrong, they had a whip. They were whipped or they were beat That's what you call enslavement. They became slaves. But God went in there. He sent a man by the name of Moses who stood before Pharaoh and he said, let my people go. And if you don't, I'm going to show God's power and his strength and his might. And so God rained plagues down on Egypt. Until the firstborn of everyone not covered under the blood was died. Both human and animal. But all the people who were under the blood, death passed over. That's what it means to be redeemed. It means that when death comes knocking at the door, you say, go on to the next house. It's got to pass over my house. Death has to pass over because you've been redeemed. Death has no power. Death has no sting. Death lost its victory. It's swallowed up in victory. And for death to the believer, it means a graduation. It means a promotion. It means you just step out of this body and go into eternity. But you've been redeemed from destruction. You've been redeemed from the pit. You've been delivered from the snare of the fowler and the arrow that flies by day. You've been delivered. You've been brought out of captivity. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that ought to make you give thanks to God. Oh yeah, Pastor. If Jesus would have never come, I could deliver myself. Yeah, right. If that were true, then we ought to see the news improving. But it's not, is it? When you turn on a news station, you don't get good news. Good news is far and few between in comparison to the bad news, to the destruction. Thank God. Say, I've been delivered. Say, I've been delivered from destruction. That's a benefit. He redeems your life from destruction. And then also in verse 4, he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Did you know that you have a crown on you? This idea, it's something of beauty. It's something of dignity. It's something of honor. When someone puts a crown, they're seated into a position of authority, of prominence. Jesus took your old rags. He took your sin. He took your mess. He took the ashes that were your life, and he gave you something beautiful, something glorious. He placed his glory back on you. He crowned you. You got a crown of loving kindness on your head. You have a crown. He took your ugly robes and he gave you robes of righteousness. He gave you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He exchanged some things on you. He gave you a crown. He took you up out of the mud. He cleaned you up. He washed you off and he restored you into fellowship and relationship. Part of a benefit. We have a crown on our heads. Are you excited about that? You're like, oh yes, I have a crown. Ooh. I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. That's what Thanksgiving is. It's about expressing your gratitude. And God doesn't ask for anything in return but you. He doesn't ask you to pay for what he's given you. Here, God, let me give you a couple bucks for my salvation. He'd be like, what? You know, imagine at Christmas time, you see all the gifts with your name on them, and you go to the people who gave them to you, let me give you a couple bucks for that. They'd be like, what are you talking about? You own something? That's the whole point. We could never afford what he did. It's a gift. His unspeakable gift. These benefits are gifts. These benefits are yours for your employment in his service. He's got the best retirement plan in this world. It's out of this world. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the taters underneath. All the gold and the silver is his. This is who you work for. This is who called you. This is your father. We ought to be excited about what he's done. Y'all need to go look over your benefit list again. to see what you've been given and to see who gave it to you. Because it'll spark something on the inside of you. He'll give you beauty for ashes. Verse 5, he satisfies your mouth with good things. Oh, if Mick Jagger would have read this verse, I can't get no satisfaction. Why? Because he didn't know the one who could give it to him. You try to look for satisfaction everywhere else, you're not going to find it. Only the Lord can satisfy your mouth with good things. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How many has tasted? Ooh, when you taste something good, when something is cooking and you walk into the kitchen, you know, when we had Alpha, it was hard for me to be in my office. I'd smell these, the aroma would fill the sanctuary. You know, I felt like the cartoons, you know, they're like, you know, I'd go right to the kitchen. I'd just stand in the kitchen and go, because it smelled so good. But see, when you smell something good and you get one taste and it tastes good, you want more, don't you? Pass the plate. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Is he good? Well, true satisfaction, only he can give you true satisfaction. Give thanks to him, for he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry. That's all you need to do to be filled by God, is to be thirsty and hungry. And he will satisfy you. You know, Jesus told the woman at the well, he said, you know, this water, when you drink it, you're going to thirst again. But he said, the water that I give you, you'll never thirst. And the Bible says in Isaiah 12 that salvation is like a spring of life, springing up into eternal life. It's pure water. I can remember one time when I was in New Zealand. We were visiting Geyser Park. It's in Rotorua, New Zealand, and it has this, they have all these natural hot springs and different things. Well, there was this river here that was fed by this spring. And the spring was 50 foot deep. I could see to the bottom of the spring. The water that came out of that spring was 99.9% pure. And I found someone with a cup. I dipped it right into the river and took a drink. Woo, you talk about good water. Didn't have any chlorine taste, didn't have any aftertaste. It just was cool. It just went down smooth, but it brought satisfaction to my soul. See, the Lord says, I will satisfy your mouth with good, everybody say good things. Say, God is good. He's not bad. He doesn't want to beat you up. He wants to give you good things. And all good and perfect gifts, the Bible says in James, comes down from the Father of lights. All good and perfect gifts. God is good. Say, we have a good God. Say, God is good to me. Well, if he's so good to you, then he ought to affect your face. You ought to just walk into a place sometime. Walk into Walmart sometime, just like this. Just walk in there. And while you're shopping, just keep the smile on your face. You'd be surprised. People will come after you. So what are you on? Well, let me tell you what I'm on. Let me tell you about Jesus. Psalm 36:8 says, you can drink from the river of his pleasures. And then verse 5 of Psalm 103 says that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How many need their youth renewed? Oh, I woke up today, Pastor, I'm on the wrong side of the bed. You need your youth renewed. Like the eagle. I found out an interesting story about an eagle. When their beak, I think their top beak outgrows the bottom, and they can't eat meat like they used to, they break their beak. And they shed their old feathers. They get new ones. And as they lose the weight, they grow. And their strength is literally renewed, where they can fly higher than they did before. I read a report that one eagle lived in captivity for 104 years. It was kind of neat when we went to Tulsa for the men's conference. Someone was transporting a bald eagle on the plane, and then when they got it out of the luggage and they took it out, that thing was about, I don't know, about this tall, but and you could hear it screeching. Going, ah, ah, ah. I can't even do an eagle screech. But it was pretty neat to see. Does God really want you to renew your youth like the eagles? Oh, yeah. He said the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. He said, you know, this temporal life that we see, it's going to pass away. That's why we need to focus on the eternal. These are benefits that have been given to us. And the purpose of that is to spark thankfulness. And this is how we worship God. You know, there are times when I'll go through the alphabet and I'll come up with a letter for God, like He's the Almighty. He's by my side. He's the Creator. He is my delight. He is my everything. He is my friend who sticks closer than a brother. He is good to me. Just go through the alphabet and describe God with each letter of the alphabet. I guarantee that when you get to the end of that, you're going to be feeling pretty good. Can you say amen? But this is why we're thankful. God wants to strengthen us with might in the inner man, part of renewing. And when we wait on God, the Bible says we renew our strength. You know, and then finally he says he executes righteousness and true judgment. Thank God that the scales that God has are just. He's the only one that can be just and fair. How can he treat people just? Because the payment for sin has already been made. So he stands in a position of already receiving the payment. So then, why do people go to hell? Because they reject Jesus. They reject the one through whom new life comes. And you know, Jesus called himself a door. He said, I'm a door. All, if you want to get to heaven, Jesus said, you got to go through me. You can't see the Father without me. And anybody can go through this door, which is Jesus. But you know what? You can also go out the same door you came in. If that weren't true, then how did Satan lose his anointing and his position in heaven? He did, because he chose to walk out the door. So, in talking about God's benefits today, we're entering into a time of thanksgiving. When we celebrate this coming week, let's not just get together for the food, but let's look deeper. Let's celebrate what Jesus has done for us and be truly thankful. And in being truly thankful, that's how you'll worship the Lord. Amen? Everybody could stand up, please.